much, ladies. Exodus chapter 15 this morning. Exodus chapter 15. We've been studying through this Old Testament book together. And I was thinking this morning about how even preaching through this book, we've come to the Sunday before Christmas. And what an appropriate message this is. Even though it's a song that the Israelites sung, we ought to have this same song on our heart and on our lips today as we meditate and think about the virgin-born Son of God who bled and died for our sin, was buried and rose again the third day. And we praise His name today for His goodness to us. We've come to Exodus chapter 15. I do want to encourage you to be back tonight. Preaching through books of the Bible has been a blessing to me. And tonight, if I get through this message here, I'm going to be picking up in chapter 15 and preaching a special message for those who are going through some disappointing times. Life is full of disappointments, no question. Matter of fact, I call it bitter waters. And that message will be tonight. It's in this chapter. Now, don't you read ahead now and try to get ahead of me. But I want to encourage you to be back tonight to hear this message. Interesting thing about life is you're either experiencing bitter waters or you're going to experience bitter waters. And you need to learn how to deal with those things. So do I. And that's the message tonight. So let me encourage you with that. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 1. If you're keeping notes through this series, through Exodus, I'm preaching on verse 1 through verse 21 today. Verses 1 to 21. Verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. I want to lift out two words in that verse. It's the two words, this song. And I want to preach to you this morning on this song. This song that they sung to the Lord after He delivered them by dividing the Red Sea and drowning all the Egyptians, and their dead bodies were lying all around. They sang this song. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and thank You for speaking to our hearts. Thank You for the Sunday school hour. Thank You for this service. Thank You for this good number of people that has come out. And I pray that You will take the Word of God and pierce our hearts. Speak to us. Help us to see the Spirit of this song in which it was sung. And help us, Lord, today to even in our hearts break out into this same kind of song for our great God who has delivered our soul. Speak to us now. Challenge us. Forgive our sin. Help me to be clean. Forgive me, I pray, please. We love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You, dear Jesus, for being born of the Virgin Mary, for living a sinless, perfect life. Thank You for going to the cross of Calvary, shedding Your precious blood. Thank You for dying for us, rising again for our justification. Thank You for ascending back into heaven, being seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank You for Your intercession. Thank You for the promise of Your return. Thank You for the promise of glorification of our bodies. Thank You for all You've done for us. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this chapter in our study through this book, we're reminded as we come to chapter 15 of what the Lord has just done. He has just delivered His people from the pursuing Egyptians. Matter of fact, they saw the mighty power of God part the Red Sea in chapter 14. They saw the Lord bring the waters back upon the Egyptians to the point that not one, the Bible says, not one of them remained. They saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. The fact of the matter is when we come to chapter 15, the Lord had destroyed their past and He had set them free. In these verses, we see Moses and the Israelites. As a result of this, they break out into a song in verses 1 to 21. And it's the first recorded song in the Bible. Matter of fact, some say it's the oldest recorded song in the world. And with this being the first recorded song in the Bible, the Lord is putting great emphasis upon it. Let me remind you, as Miss Lashley has put this, I like the way she puts this, the first time a word, a phrase, an object, or an incident is mentioned in the Scripture, it gives the key to its meaning anywhere else in Scripture. In other words, this song being mentioned first brings out what true spiritual God-pleasing music is all about. You see what I'm saying? You understand? Therefore, as we travel through the particulars of this particular song here, we get a look at what our songs should be. Now, there's an obvious application to music. But I want us to understand here that this whole song has to do with praising God. And as we see what our response should be like after our God has delivered us from Egyptian bondage. If you know anything about the Bible, you understand that Egypt is a picture of bondage to sin. If you know about the Bible, you know that the parting of the Red Sea, where God said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," it is a picture of the salvation through Jesus Christ. Man has nothing to do with it. God must divide the sea. And if you know anything about the Bible, you understand that the Egyptians being destroyed is sin being destroyed itself. You understand your past has been covered. Your past has been destroyed. God has set you free. This is a picture of your salvation. This being the case, I want to give you some things about this song that they sung. By the way, if you're saved, you have a song to sing. What a song we have brewing in our hearts. This being the case, let me give you the particulars of this song. And I want you to ask yourself a question. Does this song represent my song? Does this song remind God of my song? I am talking about your music, but basically I'm talking about your heart's cry here, okay? First of all, we notice this song, get it now, number one, was a prompted song. It was a prompted song. Now, what does that mean? That means it was brought about by something else. For instance, in verse number one, notice the first word of the passage. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. The very first thing to notice about this song is how it was prompted by something. Notice the opening word of this chapter is then. I ask you a question. When is then? The then here was right after they saw the Lord divide the Red Sea. Right after they saw him destroy the pursuing Egyptians. In other words, this song, when I say prompted, here's what I mean. This song came as a result of something big in their lives. It came as a result of God's mighty deliverance of them from Egyptian bondage. One man put it this way, emancipation brought jubilation for Israel. Their sighing had been turned to singing. Their singing was prompted by the Lord's deliverance. One person put it this way, and I like it. Up to this moment, we've not heard so much as a single note of praise. We've heard their cry of deep sorrow as they toiled amid the brick kiln of Egypt, and their cry of unbelief when surrounded by what they deemed insuperable difficulties, but until now we have heard no song of praise. It was not until as saved people they found themselves surrounded by the fruits of God's salvation that the triumphal hymn burst forth from the whole redeemed assembly. One man also put it this way, what a contrast is this song from what was before us in the earlier chapters of this book. While in the house of bondage down in Egypt, there were no joyful strains were upon the lips of the Hebrews. Instead, we read in Exodus chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, that they sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried unto God, and God heard their groaning. They are sighing, they are crying, they are groaning. But now this sighing has been replaced with singing. And this groaning has been replaced with praising. For us, the point is this. God's salvation of man has produced the finest music in the world. If you've been delivered from sin and set free for all eternity, you have a song to sing. And it should be prompted from the great salvation of your soul given by God. Psalm 40 verses 2 and 3, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. As one man put it, and I quote, to ask a mourning heart to sing, or a soul in bondage to praise would be to mock them. Deliverance must be known and enjoyed. Salvation must be accomplished and accepted before a burst of praise can escape the sinner's lips, or a note of thanksgiving ascend to God. Every question must be settled. The conscience must be at rest. The heart filled ere praise begins. Salvation comes first, the joy of salvation, and its song follows after. Crowds of religious men and women may sing psalms and hymns Sunday after Sunday. There may be the most orthodox language used, the most entrancing music, the most perfect arrangement and harmony. And yet if they are unsaved, if they have never seen the salvation of the Lord, if they have not passed through the Red Sea, the whole affair is a piece of solemn sham. So long as a soul is dead in trespasses and sins, it cannot praise, for the dead praise not the Lord. Can I say something to you here, though? May I say something to you? I'm asking your permission. I'm going to say it whether you give it to me or not. There is a reason why some people do not sing unto Jesus Christ. Now, notice when I say sing, we automatically think music. Some of you don't sing because you think you don't have a good voice. Join the crowd. I'm not talking about singing like, you mean I've got to sing. No, I'm talking about your heart full of praise. Everybody understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking about a song in your heart. Let me tell you why a lot of people never praise God. Because they've never been saved. They don't know what praise is. They have settled for something that's a spiritual sham. They're settling for what they did or something somebody else did for them. Can I say something to you? The Israelites and Moses couldn't help themselves. They just burst forth with praise. They burst forth in song. Why? Because it was prompted by God's delivering them through the Red Sea. And I'm telling you that our songs should always be prompted by salvation. Let me ask you a question. The songs you sing, do you sing them prompted by salvation? The songs you listen to, are you listening to them and it's prompted by what God has done in your heart and soul? Can I say something to you? Music, it's an obvious application here. Music is a tool of the devil. It is a tool of God as well. Can I remind you that God created music? God created singing. God created songs. But do you realize that one of the main duties of Lucifer before he was cast out of heaven, if you want to say it just in modern terminology, he was the choir director. That doesn't mean we have one here, Miss Seaman. I'm not calling Brother Gary Lucifer leading the choir. Now, I didn't say that. So if somebody tells him I did, you're in trouble, okay? Hope his wife didn't say I said it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm kidding with you. Interesting that that was one of his duties. And what is one of the main things he's using today to destroy the next generation? He's using music. He's using singing. He's using songs. Young people, let me ask you, well, really, all age people, but especially young people, how's your music? Does it line up with the first point I'm bringing out in this chapter? This is the first song you'll see sung in all of Scripture. And the first thing we notice about it is that salvation made it happen. It was a result of salvation. But number two, it was not only a prompted song. Number two, it was a pointed song. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number one. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. Look at verse number 21 of our text. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord. This is where I get it was a pointed song. The next thing about this song is how it was sung unto the Lord. This song wasn't directed to human beings. This song wasn't directed to those who were gathered there that day. This song was not given in entertainment among the congregation. This song was not given so somebody in the Israelites would step up on the scene and say, listen to that voice over there. Look how beautiful she can sing. I guarantee you one thing, that song right there, even if somebody did do that day, the Holy Spirit didn't inspire to be put in His Word. He has this song sung, and what it says is, they as a congregation lifted their voice in praise unto God. It was pointed directly to God. He was the emphasis. This song was sung for the audience of one. And that one was the Lord of glory. You know, in a world where even so-called Christian songs are sung for the applause of people. By the way, that's one reason we don't applaud our singing around here. It has nothing to do with that person. That person doesn't deserve an applause. Good night. No. It has everything to do that we don't want to give even the people singing any thought that we're applauding them. Because our praise goes to God alone. It was a pointed song. It was sung to Jesus. Let our singing around here truly come from a heart in love with God. Let us sing unto the Lord, not unto man. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. You hear that? Singing in your heart? Yes, in your heart. Singing in your heart. Let me ask you a question. If God put a spiritual stethoscope on your heart and let us hear it over the loudspeaker, what's your heart doing? Is it sitting back saying, I don't want to offend anybody? Is it sitting back saying, get me out of here. I can't stand that guy. Is it saying, who in the world wants to put themselves under this torture? Or is it singing a symphony? Is it singing a praise song? Glory to God, He has saved me. Glory to God, He has spread the Red Sea in my life. You understand what I'm trying to get across here, friends? It has nothing to do with what man thinks. What man thinks about that, that. No, it's God has been so good, and I just can't help. I just got to praise Him. I got to sing to God. Why? Because look what He's done for me. It's a pointed song. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas sang. By the way, I remind you where they're at. They're in the inner prison house. They've been mistreated, abused, and everything else. They've been beaten to a bloody pulp, and they're in that inner prison. And at midnight, the Bible says Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Unto God. May our singing, and yes, I am talking about our music, but that's just an application. I'm talking about the song of our heart, our praise. I'm talking about our glorifying something or someone. May the song of our heart always be a pointed song. May it always sing praise to God and God alone. May it always be prompted by His great salvation. Number three, it was a personal song. We see this in verses 1 and 2. Notice the personal pronouns. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, notice it, unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Notice verse number 2. The Lord is my strength and my song. I know the my is not there, but you can, hey, that my goes with strength and song, you understand? He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. My. I will. My God, my salvation, my strength, my hope. It's a personal song. I'm telling you, these personal pronouns, the Lord is showing here how their singing emphasized that God was not only God, but He was their God. He was personally their God. You know, it's one thing to sing about God. It's another thing to sing about He being your God. May I tell you that if you are saved today, these personal pronouns can apply to your own life. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song, and He has become my salvation. The Lord is my God. I will exalt Him. My Father's God. I'm telling you, and I want to ask you a question. Can you truly sing a personal song to God? Do you have a personal song to sing? Can you honestly say that God is your God? I brought out in Sunday school, I didn't bring it out, the Word of God did. Dangerous when a preacher brings something out. Let the Word of God speak. In the book of Galatians, it's interesting that the Bible says that if we are in Christ, that He hath made us heirs. Get this. Joint heirs with Jesus. But heirs of what? Now, if you're in Sunday school, you're out of this conversation. You know what some people think? Well, I'm an heir of heaven. An heir means an inheritor, somebody that possesses it. You understand? Some people say, well, I know what I'm an heir. I'm an heir of heaven. I'm an heir of eternal life. Can I say this to you? Those are byproducts. Now, thank God we're going to heaven if you're saved. Thank God you've got eternal life. Praise the Lord for all of that. But if that's what you think you're heir to, you're wrong. You know what that verse tells us we're heir to? It says we are heirs of God. Read it. It says we are heirs of God. You know what that means? That means if you are in Christ, you have God. Now, friends, can you explain that? Can you expound on that? Can you get to the end of that, the bottom of that? Can you even get started on that? See, where is eternal life? In God. Where is heaven? With God. And if you're saved, you inherit God, which means that you inherit everything He is. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can't sing about that, you have no song inside your heart. It is a personal song. He's not just a God. He's not just the God. He can be your God. And He's my God. And I'm glad I can announce with a surety. I don't care who's watching. I can announce with a surety that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is my God, my peace, and the Heavenly Father is my Father. And because of that, I'm going to live forever. Personal song. David could sing like this. Psalm 18, 1 and 2, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. That's what David said. But if you're saved today, you can say the same thing. Number one, it was a prompted song. It came as a result of salvation. Number two, what was it? It was a pointed song. It was sung unto God, not man. It was a personal song. They could sing me. He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. He's my salvation. He's mine. Let me give you a fourth thing. We'll spend a little bit of time here because this is the longest part here. This is the last point of the message too. But I've got a full page and about a half to go. This song was also a praise song. It was a praise song. Now, I want to read this to you because I cannot put better what the Scripture says. I don't read a lot of Scripture when I preach typically. I refer you to it like, well, I'm explaining this, read that. But I want to read this and I want you to notice the praise. Look at verse number 2. This is them singing now. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. By the way, as we travel through this, notice how often the Lord or he in reference to the Lord is mentioned. Follow me? The Lord or he in reference to him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he, God, cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy him, shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. In other words, you're even over the elements of the universe. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength and thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. In the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. In the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Verse 21, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Question, who is the emphasis of their song? It is God, God, and more of God. And I'm telling you that in Psalm 106, verses 9 to 12, it says, he rebuked the Red Sea also. It was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one left of them. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. Boy, I'm telling you, the next thing we note about this song is how it was truly a praise song aimed at the Lord alone. As we consider these verses, the Lord is lifted high in praise. It said that the Lord, whether it says the Lord or he or thee or thou, when it refers to God, he's referenced over 40 times in this song. Over 40 times he's referenced in this song. And in this song, they praise the Lord, get this, for who he is, for what he did, and what he's going to do. You say, what are you talking about? Look at verses 2, 3, and 11. Let me show you, they praise him for who he is. In verse number 2, they said, he's my strength, he's my song, he's my salvation, he's my God. Verse 3, he's a man of war. Verse 3, he's Jehovah. Verse 11, he's holy and he's fearful in praises. They praise him for who he is. They praise him for what he did. Look at verse number 1 and 21. They praise him that he triumphed gloriously. He threw the Egyptians' horses and riders into the sea. In verses 4 through 10 and verse number 12, they are praising him because he destroyed the enemy with a mighty hand. Verse number 13, they're praising him for what he did there. He redeemed the Israelites. He led and guided them by his mercy and his strength unto his holy habitation. Verse 19, they praise him that he led Israel on dry land in the midst of the sea. They praised him for who he is. They praised him for what he did. And they praised him for what he will do. Verses 14 to 18. Verses 14 to 17. The Lord would put a fear and dread upon others to make sure he brings them into the promised land that he established. By the way, he kept that promise. Matter of fact, all you got to do is read Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, and read what Rahab said. And see how God put a holy dread I'm talking about concerning the Israelites with that city. All you got to do is read in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 8. Let me turn there and read this to you. 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse number 8. They're praising him in chapter 15 saying, here's who you are. Praise you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. And thank you for what you're going to do for us. You're going to put a holy dread for us in the hearts of all these people so that you will bring us into the promised land. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 4 verse number 8. It says, woe unto us. This is the Philistines. The Philistines. Listen to this. Woe unto us. Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. In other words, they had it wrong. It's not gods, it's God. But the Philistines, God's own enemy, right here, these Philistines said, who's going to deliver us from these mighty gods? Hey, this is the same God that destroyed the Egyptians. They're praising him for what he's going to do. In verse number 8, they praise him for what he's going to do for eternity. They say the Lord will reign forever and ever. Boy, I tell you, John Wesley put it well, and he said it this way. They had now seen an end to Pharaoh's reign. But time itself shall not put a period to Jehovah's reign, which like himself is eternal. Psalm 10 verse 16, the Lord is king forever and ever. Psalm 146 verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. In their song, they praised God for his power, his amazing works which he did for them. They praised him for his holiness, verse number 11. His mercy, verse 13. His judgment, verse 3, 6, 7, and 21. His redemption, verse number 13. They praised him for who he is, what he did, what he's going to do. The bottom line is their song was about God and God alone. They praised him in song, and their praise was given to God. In these verses, they were celebrating and remembering God's goodness to them. An unknown songwriter put it this way, and I like this. Some may sing to pass the weary hours along, and some may sing to entertain a worldly throng, but when I sing, I worship God in song. This is what real music does. It praises God for who He is. It praises God for what He does. And it praises God for what He will do. Does this summarize your singing? Does this summarize your heart's cry? Does this summarize your music? Does it truly praise God for who He is? By the way, He's holy, is your music. You say, this is aimed at teenagers. No, it's aimed at all of us. You say, what is my music supposed to be? Like God. That's what it's supposed to be. Is your music holy? Is it righteous? Is it merciful? Is it gracious? Does it, with its lyrics, with its music, with its sound, does it all point you towards God and what He's done, who He is, and what He will do? Psalm 92, verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 147, verse 1, praise you the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. Psalm 135, verse 3, praise ye the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. By the way, if you don't like singing God's praise, you better not go to heaven. Because I guarantee you, it's going to be one eternal chorus of nothing but praise be unto God for who He is, what He has done, and what He will do. You say, what's He going to do? Anything He wants to, amen. And I'm glad that I can say with a surety that God is real, He's alive, He's doing well, He is on the throne of His kingdom, He's going to rule and reign forever and ever, and I have Him as my God. And He can also be yours. The Lord had truly been good to the nation of Israel. They had been in Egyptian bondage for over 400 years. Yet the Lord displayed His mighty power and delivered them from that cruel bondage. He parted the Red Sea. He destroyed His enemies in the process. He redeemed His chosen people. He set them free and on their way to the promised land. No wonder they broke out in song, pointing to their great God. No wonder they broke out in song that was prompted by what He did in their life. No wonder they broke out in song personally acknowledging Him for who He is and that He is theirs. No wonder they broke out in song praising Him for His goodness, for who He is, what He did, and what He was going to do. You know, in the same way, if you have been saved by the amazing grace of God, you too have a song to sing. Let us lift our voice in song. Let us lift our heart's voice in song for to our great God and praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for what He's done in your life. Praise Him for what He's going to do. He is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of all our worship and adoration. And let us not be ashamed to lift our voices in praise to our God, personally acknowledging Him as our God, prompted by His salvation, pointing our praise to Him and glorifying Him for all He's done. Psalm 98 verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Psalm 144 verse 9, I will sing a new song unto Thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto Thee. Psalm 149 verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Isaiah 42 verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Revelation 5 verse 9. What a great verse. John saw into heaven. He saw into the new Jerusalem. And he heard something. And what he heard was this. Revelation 5 verse 9. And they sung a new song. What were they singing? They sung a new song saying, talking about the Lamb of God that's standing right in front of them. And the new song they sung was this. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, God, by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, people, and nation. Jesus Christ and His chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish nation, they rejected, and through that, salvation was open to the Gentiles. And the Son of God, one of the praise songs that He receives up in heaven is, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, for Thou wast slain. And You have redeemed us to God by Your blood from every kindred, every people, every nation. And I'm telling you, The only reason that I, as an American citizen, a Gentile, knows in my heart that the God who sits on the throne of the universe is also sitting on the throne of my heart. The only reason is, Thou art worthy. Thou wast slain, and You have redeemed us to God by Your blood. Wouldn't you like to have been standing with Moses when Moses and these Israelites broke out into song? But my, I'm going to be involved in a better song meeting one of these days. I'm going to be involved in the heavenly choir. And oh, I hope He lets me bow before Him, Say, Jesus, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. This song, prompted by salvation, pointed to God, was personal to them, and praised Him for who He is, what He did, and what He was going to do. Is this the song that you're singing? It can be before you leave. May the Lord add His blessing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You and thank You for this day. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy and grace. Thank You, Lord, that You are worthy. And we sing Your praise today. We realize that without ever saying a word from our lips, that our hearts is singing a tune every day of our life. And help our heart song to be in tune with Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 21. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. They'll sing in just a moment. I want to start where God would have me to start, and that is this. Do you have a song to sing? Is there a song in your heart? What I'm asking is, has the Red Sea been parted in your life? Has God covered your past? Has He delivered your soul? Have you been saved? If there's one here today that does not know for sure that heaven's their home, you don't know for sure that if you died today you'd go to heaven, can I invite you to come to Jesus Christ? Matter of fact, if there's one here today, say, Jody, pray for me. This song of praise, this song that was prompted by God's delivering them from bondage, I don't know if I have that song in my heart, but I'll tell you one thing, I want it. I don't know if I'm saved, but I'll tell you one thing, I sure would like to know before I leave. Is there somebody like that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'd like to know for sure that I have that song. I'd like to know that. Somebody here like that, I will invite you in just a moment when we extend the invitation. You come. We have men with men, ladies with ladies. There are some folks maybe here today that you've already made this decision, maybe this week or recently. We want you to come and make what we call a public profession of your faith. You don't have to do this, but you shouldn't be ashamed to do it. You don't have to make a public profession of your faith to be saved. You're saved because you trust Christ, but you ought to never be ashamed to let others know what you've done. I want to invite you to come in just a moment. Maybe this morning God is speaking to you about your singing. I'm not necessarily talking about your literal singing. I'm talking about your heart song. I hope you understand what I'm saying to you. The song in your heart, does it point to God alone? Does the song in your heart, has it really been prompted by God's salvation? You just can't help yourself, in other words. Does it acknowledge God as your God? Does it truly praise God for who He is, what He's done, what He's going to do? You know what would be great today, especially right before Christmas? For those who feel prompted by God, when the invitation is given, come to the altar, get on your face, and just praise God again for what He's done. Hey, we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Because He was born once, we can be born again. We ought to praise Him more than we do. Would you agree with that, friends? Then let's praise Him. Or maybe God is speaking to you because your literal music is not right. Maybe you're listening to worldly music. God is speaking to you about that, saying, you know, that music does not do what the first song in the Bible did. That music's not prompted by salvation. That music doesn't praise me. That music doesn't glorify me. That music doesn't point to me. That music doesn't acknowledge me as your Savior. I don't know how God's using this, but let's do business with Him, may we? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts and use them. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, the mic's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you about your salvation, or maybe you've already been saved, but you just want to come and let us know about it, or if you want to come and just praise God for who He is, or if you want to come and bring your music to the altar and say, God, help me get rid of it and replace it. As He sings, come now, would you do that?
To God be the glory.
It's time for you, come now.
Great things He hath done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
Still standing, you can look this way. We're just about through. We're getting some information here. Would you agree that the Israelites are on cloud 9 right here? Amen. Come back to 9. Just 3 days later, they're back to them old selves again. What happened to them? They tasted water that they thought would be sweet, and it was bitter. And bitter waters turned their world upside down for the time being. You say, what are you talking about? Well, some of y'all are going through. That's what I'm talking about. But I'm glad that at those bitter waters, my, wait till you see what we find at those bitter waters. Amen, friends. Be back tonight. Hey, I'm letting you off on Wednesday, so there's no excuse for tonight. Be back tonight, 6:30. Let me give this and we'll be on our way, okay? This is Carol Ferguson. If you don't mind to stand there, and Miss Judy's with you. She's been coming for a while, and bless her heart. She knows Jesus as her Savior. She's washed in the blood of Christ. She's been scripturally baptized, and she wants to join our church by letter from the Boones Creek Baptist Church or Bible Church. Bible? Boones Creek Bible Church. There's two of them there. When I see Boones Creek BC, it's either Baptist or Bible. It's one of the two. You know what I mean? So the Boones Creek Bible Church, we welcome you to this church. God bless you. And if you're happy that she's joined here, would you say a big amen? It's outstanding. Thank you for being. I want you to stay right there. We've got a bag we want to give to you. And I know many of our ladies will want to come by and hug on you there a little bit. Ladies want to hug on you a little bit. That'll be good. Let's pray together. If you need to see me, I will be in the back there, okay? Thank you for being here. God bless you. And let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Barney Bear, sir, if you don't mind, to lead us in prayer.